Okay, we're live?
Yes.
Excellent.
Being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Dave Levinsky from Growth Inc., and today I'm really, really excited via video interview to interview serial entrepreneurs and super successful entrepreneurs, Clay Mateel and Joni Fetters. And I'd like to start by giving everyone a brief background on Clay and Joni, let you know who they are and what they've done if you don't already know who they are. Clay Mateel joined IAMS, the pet food company, in 1970, and within a few years, he purchased the company and became the CEO. And what's really interesting when you look at the history of IAMS, from 1970 to 1999, during Clay's tenure, he grew it from only $100,000 in revenues to over $900 million and sold the company to Procter & Gamble for $2.3 billion. So just an amazing entrepreneurial success story. Joni Fetters is also a successful serial entrepreneur as well. Most notably, she founded a technology services company. She grew to 100 employees, which is extremely impressive, $13 million in revenue, and was also successful in selling that company. So, and she still is an entrepreneur today, and I'll tell you about what she's doing right now in a minute, but she also, with her husband, she owns and operates a decorative packaging company. So both Clay and Joni now work together at Aileron, and Clay's the founder, Joni's the president of the company. And they have, you know, obviously so much success and entrepreneurial experience. I'm so excited to have them with us today. So to begin, Clay, Joni, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure, Dave.
Excellent. So let's start with Joni. Can you give us a brief overview of your organization, Aileron? You know, on your website, and I'm reading here, you state that Aileron helps private business owners understand where they want to go and apply sound business practices to help them get there. So what do you mean by that, and what specifically does Aileron do to help business owners and entrepreneurs succeed?
Sure, Dave. Actually, Growth Inc. and Aileron's mission are really in line, and that is to help entrepreneurs be successful. And I think a lot of what you focus on is the sound practices and disciplines of putting in business plans, of learning how to go get capital. And our focus is similar and complementary in the fact that we help business owners and their organizations really embrace and live professional management. So if you think about how the organization is going to change from the time they start off as a founder to a few employees to a model shop, getting out of the startup phase into the growth phase, into strategic maneuvering, and potentially even into a sale, there's a lot of transition that organizational has to go through. The business owner himself also has to change his role. So he starts off as a quarterback. He's in the game. He's making plays, you know, right off the bat, on the field, in the moment. And over time, his role has to change to become more of a coach, to more of the general manager, and moving back and looking out longer term. So what helps with that, as you agree with, I see on, you know, what you guys do is certain fundamentals like planning, whether it be strategy, setting a vision, looking at your customers in the future, setting frameworks for employees to get feedback and develop, understanding your culture so people know the expectations of the organization. So our focus is really those fundamentals and helping people make that transition from the quarterback to the coach to the general manager and helping his organization go through those changes using those fundamentals.
That's awesome. Just one follow-up question on that. How do you predominantly do that? Is it face-to-face workshops, meeting with you, or is it more a virtual and you know, pure products and services? How do you find the most effective way to accomplish those goals?
It's really considered one-on-one. So we do have workshops that people start off in where they get to honestly get around their peers, other business owners who are doing the same thing. And that's a one-on-one experience where they get to see other business owners in the class. Usually the person in front of the program is a business owner himself, has been there, done it. So there's a lot of one-on-one experience there. We use assessments to understand where you're at, what do you have in place, and where are maybe the areas that need some fine-tuning or opportunity to put places in. And then we do have, like, individual business advisors who work with you one-on-one to help you get there. So, you know, Clay's founding intent of this place is that we're not a formula. It's not a strict process, But we meet people where they are and then help introduce how they can instill some of these disciplines into their organization specifically.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so, Clay, this question's for you, if you don't mind. You know, what are the big mistakes that you see, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs making, and, you know, what do you need to do to fix them?
Well, there are a lot of mistakes that entrepreneurs make. The one that I think is the most catastrophic is the mistake that they make after they become successful.
Okay.
Where they've been used to listening to the same people, they've been used to operating under the same set of assumptions, and they've made quite a bit of money. And all of a sudden, competition rears its ugly head, or the macroeconomic conditions change, factors that they have virtually no control over, many factors that they do have control over, and the hard decisions that you have to make to take a business to the next level, they're not willing to make because they're too comfortable.
Right.
And so we really think that one of the issues that we have to deal with is this entrepreneur's ego. Mm-hmm. And before we can get them to buy into our business philosophy or our management philosophy, we've got to break down that, we've got to pierce that ego, that shell that business owner has put themselves in. And virtually, they become almost like a box. It becomes an area where they get stuck and they can't get out. And they won't reach out to new advisors. They won't reach out to new thoughts and ideas. And as a result of that, they head south.
Got it. Now, do you find that it's hard to convince them that they're sort of stuck in their old ways and they're stuck in that box in their ego? Or do you find that most entrepreneurs are open to that, or they have no choice because they've hit that wall and they're starting to experience some pain?
Well, if we can break down the barriers, and I think that's some of the things that I do in my interaction with these guys, is I basically share with them my experience of when I thought I had it made and when I was on top of things. And frankly, it was a time when it was a very shaky time for the company. As a result of some enlightenment, if you will, and a good outside board, I was able to make hard decisions, which is to let some people go that had been with me for a long time, hire a new president, operating officer to run the company, because I'd run out of bags, tricks in my bag. And that in itself, I think just that testimonial and the sharing of those experiences and other experiences like that with people that are around Aileron and involved with Aileron, we get their attention. And once we get their attention and we get them to believe in us and trust us and believe in the process, then we have an opportunity to make something. We can make some significant changes in their business or help them make changes in their business.
Excellent. So moving forward on that, Clay, another question for Clay. We talked a little bit earlier before this about, you know, strategic planning. It's one thing that, you know, that Growthing does a lot of, and I know it's one thing that you and Aileron do a lot of is strategic planning and business planning for the companies and entrepreneurs that come to you. So, you know, what are your feelings about business plans? Do you think that you need a business plan right when you start your company? Do you think you need one every year in your company? What are your overall thoughts on business planning?
Absolutely. You need a business plan from the day that you're thinking about starting a business. I can also say, though, and Joni, you correct me if I'm wrong, but about 80% of the businesses we see at Aileron has never written a business plan.
Ever. Wow.
There's nothing in writing. Most of their money was their capital money, seed money was probably gotten through maxing out a credit card or borrowing money from the family. So they're not the traditional businesses that you see in Growth Inc., where they're technology businesses, usually started by successful people who have MBAs from some of the better schools like Anderson or Stanford and places like that. But most of the people that we see in our practice, I would say 80% of them still have a lot of dirt under their fingernails.
Right. Right.
But they've taken the business by sheer force, by luck, by having a good technology or a good product. They've taken the business to a certain level, and they've taken it to the point where now they're stuck. And why they're stuck is because they run out of hours in a day, and they run out of days in a week. So now they have to hire management people, and management is something that's not really thought of very seriously by these kinds of entrepreneurs. So we've got to convince them that you now, to take this business to the next level, you've got to have a professional system, a management system that can help you thrive and manage the business.
Got it. So you need to have this professional management system. And how do you think the business plan ties into that? Is that sort of the cornerstone of figuring out what is the system that you need? And is that correct? And then if so, what do you see as the key elements of one of these business plans, and sort of how often do you need to, update that business plan?
Well, I'll start with the last. I think you need to update your business plan annually. I think the business plan ought to look out beyond 1 year. We're not going to say that there's a magic 5-year plan, but it certainly ought to be multi-year. Mm-hmm. The idea of our process or our system, the number one principle of professional management is planning. So the first thing you need to do is have a plan. The second thing you need to do is you need to organize behind the plan. Third thing you need to do is you need to have controls. And you use the word action plans. We use the term action plans. You also talk about reverse engineering, which I think is a great concept. At some point, I'd like to learn more from you about that process itself. And then the last three are what we call the soft elements of professional management, which is decision management, climate setting, and leadership. So we talk to these business owners about the necessity for them to build a client, to build a climate or build a culture within their business that's conducive for success, that's conducive for high productivity and high morale. We talk to them about their strengths and their weaknesses relative to their leadership skills. And, of course, we help them think about how they manage decisions by pushing decisions down to the lowest possible level within the organization.
Got it. Excellent. Just one quick follow-up on that is where I think both of you sort of mentioned that the entrepreneur seems to get to this level a lot of times and get sort of stuck. And at this level, they need to, hire management. And you talk, Clay, in your company, how you hired, the president and the operating officer at one point. What are some of the challenges, sort of going back to the ego of the entrepreneur that you think you can do everything yourself, but now you're being told that you really need to hire some people to do things for you and create the structure. How do you sort of overcome that in the entrepreneur's mind to get them to recognize that? And also, it's a real cost to hire, the right people, and there's a feeling of letting go of the reins. What have you found to be the best ways to convince entrepreneurs to sort of let go a little bit and go through that process and actually do that and take action?
Oh, Joni, you want to handle that one?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times it happens naturally because they run into issues. So obviously 2008 was not a great year, and that was a year that helped a lot of people be open to looking at different ways to do business. But in some ways, it actually caused people to dive back into their business a little bit too much. But I think over time, a lot of these business owners have had their business for 10, 15 years, and they see the cycle where they keep getting to 5 million or 10 million, and then they go down, and they get to 5 and 10 million, and they go down. So it seems like they keep bumping up against it. And like Clay said, they get tired. After a while, they keep beating their head against it. If you get them to start thinking about a vision and getting an understanding of the reality of the future marketplace and where they want to go, and they get excited about it and they see bigger ways, it starts to really open the path. Well, then how are you going to do that? And is the guy that's in this spot today the guy capable of taking you there? Or are you capable of doing all that, those kind of things? So I think, the more they hook their wagon to a clearer vision and a clear understanding of where they can take this place, it helps them then start to see the structure that maybe needs to follow. Because these are dreamers. These are dreamers that have big plans. And, we don't have to help them dream, but they need to help maybe articulating and getting a reality of what I dream, is it going to fit in the future? And then the structure follows.
Well, we need to get them to hook their, we need to get them to hook their wagon to a different set of horses, a set of thoroughbreds versus a set of plow horses, using, to use that analogy. And getting them to unhook from those advisors that have advised them for 20 years, that that employees that were there when they couldn't hire anybody else but are now unqualified to run the sales department, and things like that. Those are really the fundamental issues that, that we get involved with. And we give them the confidence, or hopefully we give them some confidence, by referencing our experiences and the experiences of others and how they've done it. And that, that in itself is a huge help, to these business owners. Let alone another issue, which is always predominant in these businesses, is the family. The dynamics of the family itself. Children, brothers, sisters, cousins, brother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. These people are usually, in many cases, they're at the trough. They're living off the dividends, or living off the benefits of the company. They're not significantly contributing. And getting them to identify and to recognize the frailties and the weaknesses they have, there, is a huge step for them.
Got it. Excellent. Thank you. I'm going to move back to Joni. And Joni, you've helped so many entrepreneurs and business owners, you know, grow their businesses and be much more successful, and you've done it yourselves, yourself several times. What are the top areas that you think that business owners need to focus on improving in order to improve their business?
Well, we've already kind of beat planning maybe to death, but whether it be business planning, which is a decision-making tool on where you deploy your resources and how you're going to do things, versus strategy, which helps you decide where am I going to be in the future. So I think that's certainly where we, a lot of times we start right off the bat, because you've got so much going on. And maybe it starts off as operational planning. Just what are we going to do in the next 6 months? What are the three make or break items that are going to get us there? And can we see that we've got stuff, resources to get us there? And then it moves into longer time horizons. But on top of that, I guess there's two other areas I'd focus is, one is getting an outside perspective. So whether it be setting up a board of advisors, using a mentor, joining a tech group or other, getting a consultant that will help you, but really learning how to get outside of your own company and your own frame of mind so that you are in touch with your customers and where they're going. There's people that hold you accountable as a business owner, so that, you know, half the benefit of having a board meeting isn't what goes on in the meeting. It's the preparation that you do as a business owner that says, am I really going to go up in front of these people and tell them I'm going to do this? And can I justify it? So it almost gives you that mechanism to hold yourself accountable. And then the other piece that I probably would have laughed at you if you told me 5 years ago that core values were probably one of the key things you should work on right off the bat. But, you know, it drives everything. If you can clearly understand the core values of yourself as well as your company, and define those and articulate, it's a great decision-making tool. So, you know, you have positivity, integrity in your core values. We have development and success of others. And the more we understand those and clarify those to everybody, it drives our decisions. So our programs, we're not interested in having butts in seats. We're interested in making a change with you and helping you actually do something in your business. And that's around the core value development and success of others. So it helps us decide which programs to offer, which types of services do you do. So I think even trying to just get those down and clarify those and then try to see how those guide your day and how they guide people's behaviors is really important.
That's awesome. I just want to add something with core values, because it's one of those areas that it seems like such a soft, that in culture seems such like a soft thing that, you know, who really cares? But just as you said, these core values not only guide your decision-making as the entrepreneur and owner of an organization, but also your employees are, if you really drive in these values and this culture, when they have to make decisions, because they're the people that are executing and operating your business and talking with your customers, you need them to make the right decisions. And you don't want them running to you to ask you questions. If you set the right values and culture, then they're going to make the right decisions. So it's, thank you for stressing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, great.
I want to move back to Clay. Do you have a formula for, you know, successfully growing a company? I mean, literally, you're one of a few people that have taken a company from, you know, $100,000 to $900 million and really grown an organization. You know, is there a formula for doing that? Or, you know, what words of advice can you give to the entrepreneur and business owner out there that are, you know, are at that earlier stage that want to really aggressively grow their business and just hasn't done it before? What kind of formula can you give them or advice?
Well, in the first place, there's no formula.
Okay.
Although one of the elements is always luck, and that's probably the number one thing. So being at the right time with the right product at the right price is probably one of the critical factors in the success of a business. The other thing too is the professional management model. It's planning, it's organization, it's control, climate setting, decision management, and leadership. And it's being good at those elements, to understand those elements, to keep people engaged in the process. You point out in your business planning communications all about the things that need to be inherent within a good business plan. I think that those were critical, and those were the things that got us over the top. And when we really started to make headway was when we got those organizational, those directional factors in place, which was the mission, the vision, the values, and the culture of the business. And we got those right. And we got people engaged and excited and involved with us. We made some significant strides. I'll tell you another thing too, along the lines of what you and Joni were talking about, and it was part of what we did at IMES, is we talked a lot about dreams. And my philosophy is that a vision is a dream with a plan. So going from a vision, from a dream to a vision, and getting the entrepreneur, getting the business owner to articulate truly what that vision is, of what they want to accomplish, and then getting people on board to help them get there. To me, that is, in a sense, the element of leadership, which I think is another critical factor in that whole process of building a successful business.
Excellent. So actually leads me to the next question I have for you, Clay, which is you have this vision of success, and a lot of times I know that vision of success is to eventually sell your company and either sort of, you know, drift off into the sunset, or like most entrepreneurs, like the two of you have done, just sort of do it, rinse and repeat and, you know, do it again because it's so exciting to, you know, start another venture and grow another venture. So, you know, both of you have had a lot of success once again in starting, growing, and actually selling a venture. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the process of, you know, selling and exiting a company and, you know, what you need to do and possibly differently if thinking about eventually selling your company versus sort of thinking about growing it and just living off the profits.
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is, do I have technology that's worth something to someone else? And if that technology is so strong and so powerful that it complements a strategic buyer in some way, then that certainly would be your first point of exit, your first point where you'd want to think about, do I want to exit? However, that should be included in the business plan. I mean, an exit strategy should be included in business plan, especially if you have this idea that you want to exit the business within a 3 to 5 year period. I happen to believe, though, that the most value you get from a business is when you create cash flow and you can justify a significant price based on discounted cash flow. Because at the end of the day, that's what buyers pay a lot of money for. Why they pay $2.3 billion for IMES when we had an EBITDA of maybe $100 million or less? The reason they paid $2.3 billion is because of our brand equity that they could leverage into other channels, other marketing channels. So that in itself then looked to P&G like a $2 billion company instead of like a $1 billion company, which is what happened in about 3 years. they doubled the size of the business because they expanded into other distribution channels that we weren't currently selling in. But I would say that other than the technology that is strategic to a buyer, to a strategic buyer, I would say that the second thing and probably the most important thing is build a sustainable business with a good cash flow, and ultimately you'll find a great buyer if you want to sell it. And at the same time, if you don't want to sell it, you can sustain it.
And that's probably a good key. My husband and I are in the process of selling our second business right now. And so we hope to have close in the next few weeks. And basically, I think what you find when you go through the due diligence process is they want to know, is the management sustainable? So as you step out, you know, are there people there that can keep going? Do you have a strong customer base? So whether it be technology or unique value you bring from a customer base or the equipment you own or whatever it might be, it is that sustainability piece that's really important. And I think what Clay mentioned at the very end is, I think the ability to walk away and not sell, so not to get yourself in a position where you have to do a fire sale. So, you know, we're in the position today that if it sells, great, but if it doesn't, we can go right back into running the business and carrying on, because it doesn't put us in a predicament where the buyer can take advantage of us and we lose that momentum. So we're willing to stay, but we also have a unique opportunity to get, you know, an opportunity to exit as well, but not putting ourselves in that predicament of having to sell.
Got it. Just a follow-up question on that. So, Joni, right now you have this business with your husband that you're in the process of selling, and you're the president of Aileron. You know, how do you do that? Is that going back to planning and putting this management, you know, system in place? How do you, you know, how can you run two businesses at once?
Well, I have, you know, I spend more time in Aileron, and he spends more time running the business. I just get to go home and tell him all the things he's doing wrong. So it's perfect. It's a great match. It's busy, and it's neat because it's been a passion of both of my husbands. The first one I ran, and he got to tell me what I was doing wrong, and this time he's running it, and I get to tell him everything he's doing wrong. So it's fun.
Okay, great. So, you know, both of you have been in, you know, have taken companies and made them really successful, and I'm sure, and you've worked with entrepreneurs and helped them make them successful as well. I'm sure you've also worked with some entrepreneurs that just sort of didn't get it and sort of couldn't, you know, excel their businesses for one reason or other. Even if you give them the best advice in the world, not everyone knows how to follow it or execute on it. So if you think about those entrepreneurs that really made it versus the ones that didn't quite make it, are there any sort of attributes that you can think of that sort of separate and distinguish the real successful ones for the ones that didn't quite thrive? And Clay, if you can answer that one.
Yeah, I'll take the first stab at it. You've got to want it. The other thing that you have to believe in what you're doing. There's almost a spiritual piece of an entrepreneur where they believe in a higher power. They believe that there's something bigger than just selling air conditioning equipment. Or there's something bigger than just selling dog food. Why am I doing this? Because, well, number one, we want to enhance the well-being of dogs and cats. But why are we doing this too? Because we want to be a model of the greater American dream. We want to be part of the free enterprise system. We want to share our knowledge and our experience and our resources with those that are aspiring, that are coming up, that are maybe less fortunate than we've been. And that higher aspiration or that higher goal, beyond just making a buck, even beyond just selling a business, but what is the purpose of all this? It ought to be, at the end of the day, it ought to be to help people, right, in some way or another. And our belief is that we spent a third of our life learning, a third of our life producing or generating value. We ought to spend the last third of our life giving it all away.
Right.
And what we have of value, our family has of value, is our knowledge and experience in building the Iams Company. And so that's part of why we're doing Aileron. And that purpose permeates to other spiritual kind of people that, you know, I can do better with this business. And we have lots of examples at Aileron, and they're not sexy kinds of businesses. They're down and home, tough, hard-nosed, bare-knuckle kind of businesses. But they're generating 2 and 3 and 4 times the cash flow that they were when we first met them. And what we're seeing happen in the community as a result of that is phenomenal.
Excellent. So.
But you gotta want it. You gotta want it, because if you don't want it and you don't believe in what you're doing, it's too hard. It's too hard.
Gotcha. You're seeing that as a common, that burning desire, that passion to create something bigger than yourself and achieve it, that you're seeing that as a real common trait in all the entrepreneurs that you've worked with that have taken it to the next level?
Yeah. They're real successful. Let me tell you a little bit of a story. We had such a great product that our dogs' coats and bright eyes and muscle tone and everything were better than anybody else in the industry. If you loved a dog or you loved a cat, you could not feed Iams, because Iams produced the best results. Now, in our own way, we said every dog ought to have a shiny coat. Mm-hmm. And if every dog ought to have a shiny coat, it ought to have a shiny coat, the Iams coat. And so people really got on that. Why'd they get on it? Because that's what I believed. And that's what drew me to the company in 1970. It wasn't the numbers. It wasn't the glitzy marketing plans or the business plans or the nice manufacturing plan or anything else. It's the results I saw in feeding that product to dogs. And that vision was with me from 1970. And it was with me in 19, still is today. But it was with me through the entire 30 years that I was involved with the Iams Company.
Awesome.
That's a higher goal than just making a buck. That's a higher goal than just making a buck.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think another attribute.
Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I think it is that passion, that vision. They see a bigger picture. It's also, I think, a healthy balance of being able to be in command and lead, but also be vulnerable and open to new ideas. And, you know, a lot of these guys are problem solvers at a very high level. So they're always looking for something better, and they're never satisfied. And that makes this type of environment, the environment you offer up, really rich, because they're out there hungry, trying to reach for it. They're trying to look for new solutions. They're trying to find new ways to do things. And I find that attribute in most of the people that we see that are successful, is they're never satisfied. They're always trying to lead, but also with a healthy way of, oh, that's a new way to do something. And they're open to those types of ideas.
Oh, great. So question for you, Joni. So we have, from sometime between now and the distant future, there will be literally tens of thousands of entrepreneurs watching this video. And so let's me put myself in the shoes of one of these entrepreneurs. I'm watching this right now. What do you suggest I do right after I watch this? I'm getting motivated. I'm saying, yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm not satisfied. I want to be really successful. I hear what you're saying about everything you're saying about planning and getting the structures in place. But the concern that I have is that this person, this entrepreneur, is excited, yet they're possibly a bit overwhelmed. You know, where do I start? What do I do next? There's all these things that I need to do to improve my business. What do you think the action plan should be, you know, right after finishing watching this? What should that entrepreneur go do and take action right now?
Well, I'd immediately, I guess, put it in your job description. So if you don't have a job description, put it in your head. That part of your role and responsibility is to drive strategy, to drive that future thinking, to define the culture, to set up people development frameworks for people to develop. So right away, I'd shift your paradigm thinking to, I'm not the one that's supposed to be going on sales calls, not ever, but just that's not my main function, my main role. And so I'd change that paradigm, and then I'd put it on your calendar once a week to spend an hour, 10 minutes, whatever it might be, to literally think about, as Gerber said, working on my business, not in it. And then what do I work on? So I sit down for that hour. What do I work on? Well, start working on a vision. So where do I want to be? It doesn't have to be a fancy word phrase at this point, but where do I want to go? How do I reach out and use things like GrowthThink or Aileron or Kauffman or the Entrepreneur Center, whatever types of resources you can use, other business owners. Maybe I set aside an hour to go talk to mentors that start to say, what am I thinking about being in the future of the 3 years of my business? So I think it's setting aside the time and focus as the business owner, because you're going to get sucked back in every day to problems on the floor or with customers, or, you know, that immediate sense of urgency. Draw that quadrant that says it's important but not urgent, but I got to work in that quadrant sometimes.
Got it.
I have I have one thought on that, Dave. I think that the first thing I would do after I saw the blog is I would click on the group, on the GrowThink legend at the bottom of the page, and either call or email you to get more information about what's going on in your organization. I think the second thing that I would do is obviously go to the Aileron homepage and connect with us in some way. So that we could start a dialogue with the business owner. And I think if I was to leave just one thing that differentiates Aileron from some of the other organizations out there, is we truly do understand the entrepreneur. The people that run our seminars are practicing business owners, entrepreneurs, people that do consulting are people that are trained to be consultants, but they also have experience of working in or running closely held family businesses. And that is the difference. Is we do understand, and we don't stand there and point our finger and say we're all knowing. We're there to find solutions and to find help. So if you're stuck, call us.
Let me follow up on that with Aileron. If you guys are based in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me about the services that you provide? Is it nationwide, globally? There'll be obviously entrepreneurs, you know, throughout the country, throughout the world watching this. So can you talk about, you know, who are the entrepreneurs you serve from a geographic standpoint, and then also possibly from a state standpoint? Is it, you know, pre-revenue, post-revenue? Just talk about who that the target entrepreneurs that you serve the best, just so all the people watching and listening can understand if there might be a fit.
Sure. We serve companies around the country. So we have a few coming from outside the country, but mostly it's around the United States. It's a very easy model to engage with. There's a great two-day program that starts a lot of the places where people start as a Course for Presidents, which just gets you started. It takes you from what you're saying, that motivated, overwhelmed stage, to how do I start to dig in a little bit. The typical sweet spot, I'd say, is beyond startup. We're not necessarily, these principles are really hard to execute in a startup phase because there's so many other mm-hmm. basics and fundamentals. But once you reach a certain plateau of 20 employees, 30 employees, 40 employees, and you're starting to get more complexity in your business, these fundamentals have to be inserted in order for you to grow. So that's really the sweet spot, is somebody getting to that 20, 30, 40 employees. Now, we have much larger companies that also utilize us that haven't put all those fundamentals in. But that's probably the sweet spot, is that range.
Okay. And I just want to encourage everybody that's listening or watching to definitely go to Aileron. Is it .com or .org? I forgot.
.org.
Is it the .org?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not watching and you just have an audio, it's Aileron .org. Go there. I can't think of better people that have been there, done it themselves, and have helped a lot of other entrepreneurs sort of, you know, do it and achieve the success to help you do it, because they've, once again, they know how to take your company from where you're at to, you know, that huge level of success. So definitely encourage you to do that. I have just one final question. No, you guys deserve it. Well deserved. You know, one final question, which could be a short one or a big one, is that, you know, what did I forget to ask you that entrepreneurs and business owners should know about in their quest to achieve more success? I'll start with Clay, if you don't mind.
Well, I think entrepreneurs ought to have some idea of where, and most entrepreneurs do, have a what idea of where they're going to go. What direction are they going to go? And how far they're going to go in terms of growth. What are they going to do in terms of employment? What are they going to do in terms of what their product is going to do within the marketplace? And they ought to have that on down on paper. They ought to write it down. And the first people that they ought to share it with is their own family. That's the one thing that I find with a lot of business owners, and when you asked that question before, I missed it, that entrepreneurs, the mistake that they make is they don't share their dreams with their family. And I was an example of that. I didn't share my dreams with my family because I was scared to death. I was in debt so deep that I was afraid that the kids would start thinking that we're going to lose our house next week if we don't make our sales or we don't make our plan. And I was scared to death. And I think most entrepreneurs are scared to share their weaknesses, their frailties, their fears with people, and they should. They should do it, and the first people they should do it with is their family.
That's great. Hey, John, I'd like to ask you the same question, but I want to give you 1 second to stop with class. First of all, I've never heard anyone say that. I think that's a phenomenal idea. Just a follow-up also, are there any what was your experience or the experience of other entrepreneurs that have done that? Is it universally positive, sort of like a weight lifted off your shoulders, or is there any possible repercussions that they should be aware of before they take that step?
Well, what happens to a lot of entrepreneurs, and they haven't shared their dreams with their family, I'm going to take my little puppy, okay?
I have to leave, so...
You're being recorded, dear. I want everybody to see that I'm fed dog right here. Sorry about that. So, and so what happens is they don't share their vision, their dreams, and their values with their family, and all of a sudden they become successful and they look around and the people aren't there to support them. They're not there. And you see a lot of mistakes by business owners, and they have a lot of marital problems, a lot of family issues, because they don't communicate with their family. Right. And we understand that. I mean, we've been through this. We've worked with family business owners. We have one of the top family business advisor in the world that is one of the top family businesses in the business advisors in the world on our board at Aileron, Dr. John Ward. And I worked with Dr. Lan Danko, who is the guru of family business consulting. I worked with him for over 25 years. And it's those kinds of soft issues that are extremely important. And especially in the family, in the entrepreneurial business or in the family business. And if you overlook those and you don't deal with those and you don't put those things on the table, invariably they'll come up to bite you.
Excellent. Thank you. And then just finally, passing it over to Joni, is there anything that you think that I sort of forgot to ask, that any advice for entrepreneurs listening or watching this that you want to share?
Yeah, thank you. And I think it is just the why, the question of why do we all do this? I know businesses owners love the creativity and the productivity, but the reason we're a nonprofit, we're funded by Clay, and then the services that our business owners utilize, they contribute some of that money. But the reason Clay has put so much money behind us, almost $150 million to date behind this organization, is because, as Clay puts it, and I'll quote you even though you're on Clay, is there's no higher calling than putting your capital at risk to employ others. And so, we respect what these business owners do. They don't always get the respect or the credibility or the acknowledgments, the gratitude in the marketplace, but they are what's driving our country today. It's what has given us so much freedom in the past. And so we commend what they do on a day-to-day basis and want to support them that way. So it really is the why we're here, why you guys are here. It's in your mission statement as well. It's to create jobs and products and services that'll fuel this country to continue the well living that we have.
Awesome. I just want to sort of bring it back full circle real quick, because you just talked about you know, what you do, which is what I do, which is you're helping entrepreneurs because it fuels the economy. It makes the world a better place. And so you have that higher value, that higher why. And I think Clay's talked about that earlier with IAMS, that you had that higher why because you wanted everyone to have healthier pets. And there was a reason in that. Really, everyone watching or listening, think about that. Think about in your business, what is that higher purpose that you want to achieve? And very recently, I heard something that I found pretty interesting, that even Domino's Pizza came up with that higher why, which is because when people buy Domino's Pizza, it's more time to spend with the family because it's less time cooking. And there actually is a higher why there because, you know, you buy Domino's Pizza, it may not be the healthiest thing in the world, but you're, you know, spending more time as a family enjoying it versus, you know, somebody cooking and other people watching TV are doing this. And so I think that's great. I think that's among the many great points that you both brought up today. That was a great one. So I'm going to wrap here. Once again, I really appreciate both of your time, your advice. Just, you know, the two of you, you may not recognize this, how unique you are, the fact that you've both been there and done it, not only yourselves, not only on multiple occasions, but also working with entrepreneurs to do it the same. So you have such experience. That's why I definitely thank you and encourage anyone listening or watching to go to Aileron right now. It's a great website. They have great, you know, services and things that they can offer you, because the key to success in being an entrepreneur, as we heard today, is having that fire and then taking action and then just, you know, realizing that you're not going to do it on your own. You need to do something. And everyone that's achieved great levels of success, they've done something. So once again, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. And thanks for all you're doing for entrepreneurs.
Thank you so much.